Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Monday, December the 8th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, people in Tunbridge Wells are still being told to boil their water before drinking it. We've got an update on the situation in the town. A woman in Sheerness is appealing for action to stop dog walkers leaving their pets' mess on a walkway. And motor racing bosses here in Kent are celebrating Lando Norris becoming world champion. But first, NHS staff in Kent are being invited to resign as part of plans to cut costs. Two trusts have entered into what's known as a mutually agreed resignation scheme. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. So, Lucy, what exactly does that mean?
Well, the scheme allows employees to leave in return for a severance payout. It's being used by Dartford and Gravesham NHS Trust as well as Medway, and is designed to help the health service manage workforce changes and address some of the financial challenges it's facing. It can then create vacancies that can be filled by the redeployment of staff from other jobs or as an alternative for staff facing redundancy.
And I understand not everyone is happy about the scheme.
Yes, that's right. The trade union Unison has said NHS workers deserve fairness, transparency and stability, not short-term fixes that risk undermining already stretched services. A spokesperson added that staff should never be forced out of the NHS to plug financial gaps created elsewhere. We've also heard from Jonathan Wade, who's the boss of Dartford and Gravesham NHS Trust and interim chief exec at Medway. He's responded to the criticism, saying, "We greatly value our staff who work incredibly hard to care for patients and keep vital support services running. Unfortunately, like all NHS trusts, we need to significantly reduce our costs. This requires us to make difficult decisions, which include reducing our staffing levels." He insists decisions will be reviewed against strict safety and quality impact assessments.
But they're not the only trust taking action in Kent, are they?
No, there's also East Kent Hospitals, which will be making redundancies. It's understood the total numbers expected to be less than 1% of the workforce. No final figures have been revealed yet, as consultations are still ongoing, but all corporate departments are affected at this stage. Bosses say they're restricting recruitment and reducing reliance on agency staff as part of efforts to cut costs.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a £20,000 reward's being offered to anyone who can help solve a murder that happened in Tunbridge in 1982. The cold case involves the death of an 85-year-old woman called Esme Hode, who was found dead at her home in Havelock Road. A distinctive boot mark was found at the scene, but no one's ever been brought to justice. Crime Stoppers have issued a fresh appeal to try and bring some closure for Esme's loved ones. The father-in-law of a young man who died in Deal has been given a restraining order after starting his own amateur investigations. 27-year-old Alex Holland's body was found in 2022 and his death remains unexplained. The father of his estranged wife began investigations and posted content online. While Alex's family say the persistence has left them unable to grieve, he's been handed a 5-year restraining order. People living in Hythe who've had their windows smashed by vandals are calling for action. More than £10,000 worth of damage has been done in Hillside Street and Bartholomew Street in the last 4 months. Police say efforts are ongoing to identify those responsible. Residents are being urged to report any issues as soon as they happen. Next today, and people in Tunbridge Wells are still being told to boil their water before drinking it, more than a week after being hit with supply issues. 24,000 properties have been impacted by a problem that started at the Pembury treatment works. South East Water have apologised, but the company's chief exec is facing calls to resign. Among those calling for him to go is the town's MP. Lib Dem Mike Martin also wants the government to provide COVID-style support to businesses affected by the supply issues. He's written to the Water Minister calling for £18.5 million. Mike has been speaking to our reporter Charlotte Phillips.
This is the busiest period. If you run a restaurant or a hotel or, you know, retail in town, This is the busy period that you use to make money that keeps you going in January and February when people aren't going out to have meals and all the rest of it. And so it's absolutely crucial that we have support for our businesses. And we know why it's important, because 3 years ago, exactly the same thing happened. And we lost businesses then. And now businesses are telling me, you know, Royal Tunbridge Wells Hotel lost 30 grand. They've had to close cafes, 20 grand, 50 grand if it goes on for the full length of the boil notice. You know, these are real significant sums, which if you're managing a business, that will scupper your cash flow and then you will have to close. And so there is obviously business compensation from South East Water. Firstly, it's inadequate. And secondly, it's going to come in line, you know, once you've gone through a bureaucratic process at some point next year. These businesses need that money now to survive. And so I've asked central government for a COVID-style recovery fund to be set up for Tunbridge Wells businesses. And then they can, in slower time, the government can then claw that money back from South East Water.
And have you heard back from the Water Minister about that yet?
No, but they are, I was in a meeting with them this morning and I'm in touch with their private secretary. They are actively considering that and they will be getting me a response ASAP.
And is there kind of a figure of how much the local economy has lost during this period so far?
It's obviously hard to put an exact figure on the cost, but if you look at some of the calls by businesses saying I've lost 20 grand, 30 grand, 50 grand, which is sort of pretty common in my inbox, you're looking at a figure of about 8 to 10 million to date has been lost. And that goes up to 20 to 25 million if we're talking about the full length of the boil period. Because here's the problem, right? If you have a coffee machine that's taking water off the mains, then there is a lack of confidence in the public and they're thinking, well, shall I go into Tunbridge Wells or shall I go to another town? And so this is the problem. We have footfall in the town centre is down by well over half. Right, in the busiest period of the year. And so it's that last, because of South East Water and the poor comms, it's caused a lack of confidence in the town. And that is what we're hoping to ameliorate with this business recovery fund.
Bottled water stations remain open in Tunbridge Wells. They're at the town sports centre on St John's Road, the Odeon car park in Knights Way and the B&M store with Garden Centre on Linden Park Road.
Kent Online reports.
Residents of a housing estate in Ashford have been left disappointed again after plans for its first convenience store were refused. An application was submitted to convert part of the old office block in Finbury. Planning officers say it would have resulted in the loss of the whole building for commercial use, though. A green space in Whitstable that had been targeted by developers has been granted long-term protection. The land, which is roughly the size of 23 football fields at Duncan Down off the Old Thanet Way, has been given village green status. It follows a long-running campaign from residents who say the decision from KCC is a victory for the town. Tweaks have been made to the fast-track bus timetable in Dover, so it links up with high-speed trains into London. The County Council has started working with Stagecoach to enhance connectivity. Changes come into effect from today. It should make it easier for passengers to transfer between bus and rail and support local commuters. Now, a woman in Sheerness is appealing for action to stop dog walkers leaving their pets' mess on a walkway leading to the beach. Anne Tillett says she has to constantly dodge mounds of waste on the path in Marine Parade during her daily walks. She's been speaking to reporter Joe Crosley.
Now, every day I walk along this alley with my son to go and visit the beach. We have to dodge the dog mess.
So how much of it is there here?
It's about 25 piles. Varies in size and colour, but there's about 25 piles.
And the thing is, though, there's a bin just...
just down by the figurehead. I don't get it.
So what do you think it is? Is it just people being lazy?
Yes, and you can't see because there's a wall. So you plod along with your dog, it drops it, off they go. There you go, no one sees.
Do you think there needs to be any measures put in here to stop people leaving their dog pets?
Yes.
What do you think should be done?
Someone should patrol it. Someone should walk along every day. Because I've seen one man with his dog. And he pretended to pick it up with the bag, and he left it. and he walked off.
Well, when Kent Online visited the site, we found 40 piles of dog mess along the 200-foot path in Marine Parade leading to Sheerness Beach. Swale Council signs are on display asking dog owners to clean up after their pets or risk a £1,000 fine.
Kent Online reports.
There are plans for a 72-bed care home next to a 16th-century manor house near Canterbury. The facility near Hall Place would provide nursing, residential and specialist dementia support. It falls within a conservation area, but developers argue it's needed to address a shortfall in provision in the area. A brass band that's been playing for more than 140 years is looking for a new home after the shock closure of its base in Sittingbourne. The UK paper band have been using the Apple Yard for the last 50 years, but bosses have announced the venue will be closing. The group has 25 members and are now considering renting out a storage space for rehearsals. Now, we've been invited to take a look inside the world's first micropub, which opened in Kent, would you believe, 25 years ago. The Butcher's Arms in Herne was founded by Martin Hillier in 2005, and it always fantasised about a pub without TVs, mobile phones, food queues and smoking. He says it helps to keep costs down and it means punters come there to talk to each other and socialise. He's been giving reporter James Pallant a tour.
So here we are in the Butcher's Arms, Herne, 14 foot by 12, seating for a dozen. There's no TV, there's no music. No mobile phones, just people talking to each other. It opened on the 24th of November 2005. Businesses have flourished because of micropubs. When a micropub opens in a town or a village, other businesses then follow. It's a nucleus for growth and bringing communities back together.
Last year, Martin was awarded an MBE for his services to hospitality, business and for founding the Micropub Association. That's an online platform offering advice and resources to those seeking to follow in his footsteps. Elsewhere, there have been objections to plans to turn an historic pub near Canterbury into a house. The old Coach and Horses in Harbledown closed last year after a purchase fell through and a bid has been put forward to transform it into a four-bedroom home. Residents say it would be an irreplaceable loss to the village, though. A decision will be made in the new year. And Kent's Belvinda Sopal has made it through to the semi-finals of Strictly. The EastEnders star from Gillingham danced a Viennese waltz to Never Enough from The Greatest Showman and received her highest score of the series so far. Emmerdale actor Lewis Cope was eliminated after losing to Amber Davies in the dance-off.
Kent Online Sport.
Starting off with motorsport first, and the boss of a Kent karting circuit says it was fantastic to see Lando Norris win the Formula One world title. The 26-year-old regularly competed at Buckmore Park as a youngster. I've been chatting to Philip Ling, who's the managing director of the track in Chatham.
It was one of those moments where obviously you go into the race thinking, you know, this could happen now, you know, another Brit becoming world champion. Obviously, with any race, anything can happen right up until the end. So, you know, you're never sure. But fantastic result at the end of the day.
He knew what he had to do. He had to finish third and he did exactly that. I mean, tactically, it was a good race, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I think hanging back maybe a little bit, you know, keeping out of trouble was probably the main aim. You know, we don't know what else goes on behind the scenes with team orders or, you know, things like that. There's always so much speculation as well, obviously going into the races and even now afterwards. You know, I think for anybody that didn't watch the race, if they were trying to hang back and wait for the result, I think social media probably, if they went anywhere near it, probably would have spoiled that result before they even got a chance anyway.
What do you think this will do for young drivers that you see week in, week out coming to the circuit? I mean, he's such an inspiration, isn't he? And I think Drive to Survive has really put Lando perhaps even on a higher platform than some of the other champions in the past. An awful lot of people know who he is, even if they weren't into F1 really. They've got into it because of him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Drive to Survive, you know, first of all, such a massive hit and so good for the world of motorsport. But what it did for drivers like Lando is really kind of highlighted their personalities as well. And you know, it isn't just for show when they're on there. I've met quite a few of the drivers and their personalities are the same. And I think being such a likeable character as well, and very genuine, has probably really helped him through the sport as well. But you're right, it's made his public appeal, you know, sore. In terms of juniors coming into the sport, or people, you know, really looking to get into F1, it's not just Lando, you know, there's been other people that have come through, you know, more recently, even people like Ollie Bearman, you know, newest rookie into it, came through with us. But in the past, it's been all about those personalities and the Brit drivers that have, you know, really kind of fueled motorsport, if you excuse the pun, in this country.
Now, I know Lando has obviously been to the track. I think he was the first star in a kart, wasn't he? And did a lap of Buckmore Park, and I'm assuming raced there quite a bit as well. Are you going to be extending an invitation out for him to come back and visit again in the near future?
Absolutely. You know, we're always happy to welcome back past drivers. You've seen the video on our YouTube of him doing the star in the car. Good thing about that, we even threw that on him quite last minute as well. He was here filming for his YouTube channel, Quadrant. He said, look, let's borrow a bit of your time. And he's more than happy to jump in and do that. So a lot of people think it's kind of like fixed. He's done loads of laps first before he goes out. But he didn't. He literally just one take. That was it. As the lap and recorded. But yeah, he has done quite a few laps around before in the past. And I think actually Buckmore was one of the first places that he won a race when he was driving in cadet class, which is kind of the 8 to 13 category as well. And he was racing with other drivers back then, you know, people like Billy Munger, for example, as well, starting at Buckmore, would have raced with him at the same sort of time.
Obviously at Buckmore you've got a huge development going on. I mean, that's going to be incredible. And do you think Lando's win plus that is going to get even more people heading to you as a destination to want to get into motorsport, to maybe watch it when you've got that facility available, that new facility available, or actually give it a go as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we're all about kind of motorsport, and obviously we are a grassroots venue. We're a starting point for motorsport. You know, around the country, there's something like 140 different circuits around the country. So there's obviously even more worldwide. And so many thousands of people will filter through, whether they start from indoor karting and then move to us, whether they start with us. It really doesn't matter. You know, we're all about basically just keeping the momentum going with motorsport fans.
On to football now, and it was another point for Gillingham in League Two at the weekend. They held Colchester United to a goalless draw away from home. In fact, it was the only game in the league on Saturday. Manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after the match.
The conditions again caused an issue. You know, the wind was unbelievable first half, and to be fair, their big striker up front, he caused us some problems. And I thought he was very good in the first half, getting involved in a few scuffles and coming out on top. And then they were using him as a really good platform. And then second half, as it changed, we managed to get the ball further down the pitch. At times we played a little bit more, which helps. And I thought we were going to be the winners. You know, I thought we had a lot of chances that second half. Bradley Dack, you know, the one you want him to fall to, he's gutted in there because he wants to hit the target. You know, and that's brilliant. But really proud of the boys. I thought it was my first 0-0. And this is a tough place to come, by the way. Danny Cowley's got them fighting and playing really well, so you've got to give them credit. But then the credit is to us, because we've contained a team that, you know, not many teams have been able to contain lately. And we worked on stopping their counter-attack, and I was pleased the lads dealt with that. And we had an overload in midfield at times, and we worked that quite well, especially second half. Just the want of slipping someone in or getting someone in the right areas at the right time. I think Aaron Rose had one cleared off the line first off, but I think they've had one off the line. So listen, it's a full-blooded game today. You know, it's two local teams going at it. You know, we've moved the fixture. We're the only two teams in League Two playing today. Fair play to Colchester and fair play to Gillingham, and our fans never stop singing again. They were absolutely brilliant. You know, this is a tough place to come, like I say, and I'm pleased to get a draw. Draw away from home is always good. Just want to start winning my home games now, and hopefully that'll be in a barrel next week.
As you say, this is a very, very difficult place to come. Not a lot of teams will get something here during the course of the season, and a clean sheet as well. That must please you.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm really pleased with, because I've got my mojo back a little bit as well today. It's more.
It's sort of jumping around.
I won a few headers today on the sideline, and I feel lost my voice, which hasn't happened for a few weeks, but I felt more into the game, more in with it. And the boys, you know, we've got one hell of an injury list at the moment. We really have, you know, Andy Smith, Josh Andrews, Sam Vokes, you know, Johnny Smith, Nelson Kumbeni, you know, Lenny Serena. All these players have dropped out, you know, lately. And so for that bunch of boys, for that 18 with Louis Doyle in there, you know, an apprentice on the squad, Travis and Kameo making his debut, Logan Dobbs not playing his debut yet, he's on the bench as well, you know, probably missing one, but I don't know, some young players in the squad today, they'll have learnt plenty, and that's what it takes to be out there and playing, you know. And I was really pleased, you know, made a couple of changes, Aaron Rowan coming in at the left wing back, thought he did sensationally well, and obviously Armani being back, I think you see what he gives, you know, the real sort of warrior in that middle of the park. But some brilliant performances and a clean sheet away from home, always good.
The Gills are now sixth in the table, but everyone else has a game in hand. And London City Lionesses have lost to Brighton in the Women's Super League. The side who trained near Elsford were beaten 1-0 at home yesterday. They're currently sixth in the table. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.